This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A legal challenge is getting underway in Texas this hour to one of the strictest abortion bans in the country. Reporter Chris Fox has details from Austin.
The lawsuit filed by 13 Texas women who are denied abortions despite life-threatening complications to their pregnancies, the only exception to the state's abortion ban. Their lead attorney, Molly Duane, says the doctors refused for fear they'll go to prison.
Despite multiple repeated requests, Texas has done nothing to clarify the scope of its abortion ban.
Former President Trump got another round of bad news from court in New York today. A federal judge has rejected his request for a new trial in the civil case brought by writer E. Jean Carroll. She was awarded $5 million over claims Mr. Trump sexually assaulted her in a department store dressing room. The ruling comes a day after Mr. Trump announced he was informed he's under investigation by the Justice Department for trying to interfere with the results of the 2020 election. Former federal prosecutor Tom Dupree.
The special counsel would not have sent a target letter and would not be apparently poised to actually bring a prosecution against former President Trump if he didn't think he had a winning hand.
Turns out the U.S. soldier detained in North Korea was about to be sent back to the U.S. after spending time in a South Korean jail for assault. Sarah Leslie was in the same tour group as Travis King when he crossed the border.
Suddenly I noticed a guy dressed in black, running what looked like full gas towards the North Korean side. And my first thought was, what an absolute idiot. I assumed he was sort of getting a mate to film it for some kind of TikTok stunt or something like that.
As temperatures across the country reach record highs, some workers in South Florida might be getting new protections. Here's CBS's Jim Crisula.
Members of the Miami-Dade County Commission have given initial approval to the so-called Que Calor Ordinance. That's Spanish for how hot. It sets new heat standards for outdoor workers. Labor advocate Oscar Leandro.
There's an urgency for a countywide heat standard that would guarantee water, shade, and rest for outdoor workers here in Miami-Dade.
Companies that repeatedly fail to offer the outdoor worker protections could be fined up to $3,000 per day.
Sheryl Crow has joined a growing group calling out country music star Jason Aldean after he dropped a controversial music video. It was shot in front of a courthouse in Columbia, Tennessee, where a black man was lynched in the 1920s. Crow tweeted, "Even people in small towns are sick of violence." Aldean denies the lyrics are anti-Black Lives Matter. The Dow is up 187 points. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For 105.7 CFW and 93.5 FM, The Tap, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Court dates for the teenager accused of killing Lily Peters have been scheduled. Motions this week to seal photos and videos of the case were accepted. On August 7th, the court is scheduled to decide whether the case will be moved to juvenile court or if the now 15-year-old suspect will be tried as an adult. Last night, the Eau Claire County Board of Supervisors elected a new board chair. Nancy Coffey, who has been on the board for 5 years, was selected in a 15-12 vote. Coffey represents southern parts of Eau Claire and part of the town of Washington. Former chair Nick Smyer was voted out last week over the handling of the investigation into the county's health department, which was $3 million over budget in 2019. Smyer is still on the board. Coffey will serve as chair until after the next spring election. And a pair of communities in Barron County are honoring two officers killed in the line of duty earlier this year. County Highway SS in Barron County between Chetek and Cameron was renamed to be the Officer Emily Breidenbach and Officer Hunter Shield Memorial Highway. The officers were killed on April 8th during a traffic stop near Cameron.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
93.5, The Tap.
I saw it go. What if I just, instead of giving out the talk of text line, just started giving up Robin Voss's number all the time? I saw it go. 844-96-PARTY. What is it?
I saw it go. Write it down. 608-237-9163. Call now.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
We had a special election yesterday, and we have the results. Not so surprisingly, as expected, Republican Paul Miletic won the special election in the 24th Assembly District. But what was less expected is the single-digit margin in a heavily Republican district. So my question is, are these results surprising? Expected? Are they foreshadowing? Or is it a big nothing burger because it was only 29% turnout?
And what was it, like 10,000 people?
Yeah.
It was
which,
just...
you know, it's a special election that most of us, I mean, we talked about it like twice in the week of
True.
On this show. So, you know, you can't, if you don't know about it, you can't vote.
True.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, how much can you glean from the massive point gain that the Democrats saw? And how much does that tell us what could happen? Not just for next year, because obviously if we weren't to get new maps, it would still be a heavily Republican leaning district. Mm-hmm. Who did get new maps, or even I think I saw this morning, if you look at what that district was in the old maps, which was much more competitive. Is it telling us that the same thing that's happening in Waukesha and across the Wow counties? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why my voice just broke like a teenager.
Gets real emotional when she talks about
Greg,
the Wow counties.
Greg looked at me and was like, "What just happened to you?" But I don't know. I'm because the number nerdy geeky guys on Twitter were breaking this down, and basically the Republican won by 7 points, but the district has a partisan lean of 23 points. And it's a pretty impressive, you know, performance if you look at just the numbers. But again, only 29% turnout. So does it really tell us anything?
That speaks more to the apathy of the voters, maybe not even knowing about it. How tied? I don't know much about that. Well, first of all elections are special. How tied was this winner to Trump and that sort of message?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know.
It just sort of, I feel like it just sort of happened too. Like, hey, there's an election next week. Wait, what now? Wasn't there just an election? No. Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean,
well, that district has had to vote a lot.
I feel like, and next week, folks, if you live in that district, you're voting for Dog Catcher. I feel like that you take all of the elements, the low voter turnout, and you take the close points, the close amount of votes. I think there's too much to consider to glean anything exciting from it other than, no, it was, no one really showed up. Like, only a small amount of people showed up, so.
So you don't think there's anything, because I think what I, and I can't tell if this is wish casting, when I was, woke up this morning and was perusing through Twitter and responses, and some Democrats, left-leaning pundits, et cetera, I don't know, in the tone of how they were writing about it, talking about it, like talking about it almost like it's a win, right? That this is foreshadowing into what's the trend that has been happening across suburbs, and that this is something that we can continue to build on throughout into next year. So it's more of that that I think the is this an indicator?
No, I absolutely agree with that. I mean, that's one of the things I take into consideration. Yeah, it's an indicator. Will the Democrats do bupkis about it? Probably not. They're going to be like, nah, we got other places we put our money. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that, we saw that last year in the election. Like, so many people upset about elections not going the way of Democrats because the whether it's the DCCC or the party on the whole just pulled money from districts and said, yeah, we can't win that one. That's fine. It's the devil you know is better than the devil that I don't. And so, yeah, sure. Will the Wisconsin Democratic Party put money? Will the county put money into it? Who knows? Yeah. We'll just wait and see. But I mean, really, I will quote you, it is kind of just a nothing burger. Like, it's cool.
Well, I know we have some listeners up in that district, in the northern Milwaukee suburbs. And so would love to hear from you as far as if you voted yesterday, if you feel like there is a changing tide that you can sense at all. 844-967-2789. Is there anything to glean from yesterday's election, or is it just kind of something that happened? 844-96-PARTY. What do you think, Jane?
I think it's moderately hopeful.
Okay.
That's how I'd put it. Because again, the turnout was minuscule and he still lost. But the fact that it is such a heavily Republican district by 23 points, and he only won by 7, that should be worrying for some.
You know, folks, if you listen to the show, anytime Jane labels something mildly hopeful, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. I mean, it takes a lot, and it got her there. And
that is a good point. That is a really good point, Greg.
Folks voting yesterday, good work. Good work.
No, that is a good work. And I actually got a text. Well, here, I'll come back to that as far as, but some other ways to cut this pie. The district was Trump 24 points in 2016.
Okay.
In 2020, it was Trump plus 17. And it was plus 7 for Melotic, so that's a big swing. And even Dan Canodal, when he re-won that seat, I think it was over 20% in last November. And then I saw this was tweeted out that of the 7 municipalities that have voters in the 24th district, Tatterson, the Democrat, won 5 of them. And then 8 months ago, Evers didn't win a single one.
Dang.
Which I think is interesting.
That's once again, that's interesting data. I like that data. Now, what will the party do about it to wake up those voters who are apathetic or disenfranchised, but disenchanted, whatever? And how do you get those people come to the polls and vote for your person? Then
we have
someone on the phone. Someone really cool on the phone too.
Luann Bird, what say you?
The original tweeter.
Twitter, right, Pete, I say it's exciting news. I mean, I was disappointed Bob didn't win. I went up there and knocked on doors for him because that's what I do.
That's what you do, Luann. I love it.
I'm like, if I want change, I got to get out there and do it.
Exactly.
And it was so invigorating to talk to Democrats at the doors about what they want, and they were so enthusiastic to get out and vote for Bob.
Now, Luann, in your travels up there and your door knockings, which I've done many, many times, and I know how you know that's a thankless job, but thank you. Did you come across anybody who was center, right leaning, who's like, you know, expressing not excitement about their party or about the being excited about the Democrat? I'm always interested when talking to people at the doors, those conversations when politicians or people knocking on those doors say, like, you know, I had really good conversations with people that I don't agree with all the way.
Oh, I did. I hit one.
Okay.
I hit one.
I'll take it.
So 90% of my doors went great, but I'm pretty sure the one, it was very short, very simple. I said, do you care about women's rights? Yes, I do. I said, okay, think about that when you're voting. It was that simple. Because really, we got to talk about the issues and what matters to people.
Yeah.
And we have to continue, like you said, to give people hope, because that's what I think spurs action. If you believe that we can change things, what Bob Patterson did up there, I'm impressed. 17 points to 7?
That's huge.
Now, what are the Democrats going to do?
Exactly.
What are we going to do about that?
See,
I think that's the question.
See, that's exactly what, yeah, I 100%, Luann, you're so smart.
We're going to clone Luann and sprinkle her all across the state of Wisconsin to be knocking on doors in every district.
Are we going to call Luann's second clone Tuann? Boom.
Luann point, what is it? Point 2?
Yeah.
Luann 2.0.
I'm happy to share it.
Yeah.
I'm happy. That's
no.
Luann 2.0.
We need that excitement.
We need people to just keep getting out there, and I'm so happy to share that with everybody. And the Democratic Party, I've been on both ends of that. I've run twice. One time I was not selected to get the resources to win, and this time I was, because the focus on stopping the override of the governor's veto was so important to the Democratic Party, and it was to me, too.
Yeah.
So I've talked to other candidates who didn't get all those resources, and I still encourage them to think about the difference you make when you go to a door, even if you know it's difficult to win in your district. Even if the Democrats don't give you money, just stick with your passion. Stick with what it is you care about and do it again, because that's how we're gonna save democracy, really.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
How's the podcast, Luann?
Oh, good. Oh, I can't wait. I think this weekend we will be releasing our very first one on gun control.
Okay.
Which will be timely, because there have been 3 bills introduced which we can't get a hearing on, and yet Dan Canodal can get a hearing on a constitutional amendment that would ban churches from closing down during a pandemic. My podcasts are just another way to try reach out.
Absolutely. And remind people where they can find it.
I was just going to say, this weekend there's one Monday night there's one in Greenfield at the home of Will Radler. He was a very successful businessman. He created the Knockout Rose. He's 80 years old, and he's a proud LGBTQ+ person.
We've talked to Will.
And he wants... You did?
We've had him on the show.
Well, he cares a bunch. Now, you can actually come to his backyard, where we're going to record the podcast Monday night, 6:30.
Perfect. Luann, I got to let you go because we're coming up against a break. So will you email me all that information so I can share it?
I will.
All right. Thank you. Always a pleasure to hear from you, Luann. Thank you for calling. We got to go to our first break, but we would love to hear from you as far as yesterday's election results. Are they surprising? Expected? Foreshadowing? A nothing burger? 844-967-2789. And then we're going to get some Brewers tickets out. It's been a while. So we got a trivia question that you have to answer right, because I'm going to be a stickler this time. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
One call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different.
You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap.
It is going to be warmer and a little more humid today, and we do have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon into tonight, and a couple of those could be strong to severe, so be weather aware later today into tonight. Our high this afternoon, 86, 61 tonight, tomorrow partly cloudy, cooler 77 on Friday, sunny with a high of 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable, temperature now 73.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and it's Wednesday, so Greg Buck is here. And we are starting the show with talking about yesterday's special election results and the fact that there was a big jump for the Democrat. He still lost, but it basically went from a 23-point lean for Republicans in that district, and he lost by 7 points. And so just throwing around if it's, you know, a win, if it's surprising, if it's foreshadowing, or if, you know, it's not that big of a deal because only 30% turnout. And when it's two-thirds turnout, it would look very differently. But 844-967-2789. But before we get to the phones on that, throughout today's show, we have more Brewers tickets. And I, in the honor of sports and women's sports, have a trivia question that sometimes we're actually pretty like lenient on. But because these tickets aren't until this weekend, we have, if no one gets it today, we can give them away tomorrow. So I'm going to be a stickler about this one, especially because you can just look it up on your phone before you call in. But
Kristen Bry endorses cheating.
The Brew Crew is back home to host the Atlanta Braves this weekend, and we have 4 tickets to give away for Saturday's game. The first person to get the trivia question right, you can either take all 4 or you can just take 2, and then we'll do another trivia question. But the first pitch is this Saturday at 6:15 p.m. And as a reminder, these tickets are brought to you by Civic Media's Milwaukee Brewers Home, our flagship station, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM, and you can hear that throughout the Fox Valley. You can also catch the Brewers on WRCE News from the Center, Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. All right, so here's the question.
Yeah.
I'm doing this early, so we have the whole show.
Okay.
For someone to get it right. All right. What midfielder on the women's U.S. national team, soccer team, graduated from UW-Madison? 844-967-2789. I'm not expecting the phones to ring off the hook because it is a little hard, but we are going to be talking about the World Cup that starts tomorrow at the end of today's show. Women's World Cup. That starts at the end of the show. So if you know the answer to that, what midfielder on the women's U.S. national team played for and graduated from UW-Madison, you will win the tickets.
Hint, it's not my mom.
It's not your mom. It's also not Megan Rapinoe. It's not the other most famous.
Are they all named Megan Rapinoe?
I was thinking about that. Should I just, like, I'm thinking of trivia questions. I was like, would an easy one to do with the women's national team just be like, name a player? Jane, could you name a player besides Megan Rapinoe on the...
No.
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 Can you?
Yeah. Miss Ham.
Mia.
Well, she's not in the current one. No,
I'm talking about the current players.
No, absolutely not.
Really?
Yeah, no.
I thought you liked soccer.
I do. Okay, wow, now this is just to turn into corner.
Well,
Greg.
We'll table it. We'll table it and get into this at the 11:30 segment.
Sorry, I just have so much time on my hands.
All right, so that is the trivia question. You can look it up. You don't have to know it off the top of your head. The Journal Sentinel already wrote an article about this person. And so who is the midfielder on the women's U.S. national team that is about to play in the World Cup, who graduated from and played for UW-Madison? 844-967-2789. All right, so back to the topic at hand. We have a comment on the live stream about the election from Tony Zimmerman. With such a low turnout, you can't glean much because only the very motivated show up. The lean Republicans who usually show up, but not always, probably stayed home.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true.
Yeah.
And the question I would have is how many, like, you know, you have the numbers, but of the Democrats who voted there, like, how many didn't vote? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'd love to, because, yeah, it's, yes, of course, lots of Republicans didn't show up, but how many Democrats actually did? Was it all of them? 20%? 50%? I'm sure you can crunch the math by looking at the population, but I'm not going to do that right now. But yeah, that there's the interesting thing is how motivated were the Dems? Because that's where it seems like the excitement's happening, is in those hard to win places. The Dems are saying, no, we might lose, but we're not going to lose sitting down. We're going to lose standing up.
And what is interesting is, if you think back, and I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but this does fall in line with the trend of what happened in the last special election. Because like we said, this district's been voting a lot. Because back in April, there was the special election for the state Senate seat, of which Dan Canoda won. So that's why his seat was open. But obviously it's a bigger district because it's the Senate instead of the Assembly. But Dan Canoda only like narrowly beat Jody Habish, Sinikin.
Yeah.
And so like it feels like this adds to the argument that at least they're motivated. I mean, like, at least Democrats in that area are motivated, mm-hmm. as far as what it could mean for next year, especially if the maps change.
Yeah.
So we would love to hear from you. We're just talking about the special election results from last night for the 24th Assembly District. If you thought they were surprising, if they were, it's obviously expected because it was already a district that leans Republican. But especially if you live in that area, because I know that we have some listeners up in there. I know Dave from Mequon's out there. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. What do you think about yesterday's election results? And we have 1 minute. Should we start the call or take it on the other side?
We'll take it on the other side.
All right, we're going to take the call on the other side of the break. We would love to hear from you. Shoot us a text. Give us a call. Leave us a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. A Texas judge has just begun hearing the first lawsuit on behalf of more than a dozen women denied abortions since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, among them Jessica Bernardo.
We are grateful to the state of Washington, who cared for me when my own state did nothing to help.
Record heat has officials in South Florida considering new protections for people who work outdoors, like Maria Lopez.
He sufrido dolor de cabeza.
I've endured excruciating headaches. I have vomited.
tired. I've suffered nausea.
A federal judge has turned down former President Trump's request for a new trial in a civil case brought by writer E. Jean Carroll. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
A New York jury ruled that she had been sexually assaulted and awarded her $5 million in compensatory damages. Here, President Trump is saying that the award was excessive since the jury did not find rape, but rather sexual assault.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For 105.7 CFW and 93.5 FM, The Tap, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Court dates for the teenager accused of killing Lily Peters have been scheduled. Motions this week to seal photos and videos of the case were accepted. On August 7th, the court is scheduled to decide whether the case will be moved to juvenile court or if the now 15-year-old suspect will be tried as an adult. Last night, the Eau Claire County Board of Supervisors elected a new board chair. Nancy Coffey, who has been on the board for 5 years, was selected in a 15-12 vote. Coffey represents southern parts of Eau Claire and part of the town of Washington. Former chair Nick Smyer was voted out last week over the handling of the investigation into the county's health department, which was $3 million over budget in 2019. Smyer is still on the board. Coffey will serve as chair until after the next spring election. And a pair of communities in Barron County are honoring two officers killed in the line of duty earlier this year. County Highway SS in Barron County between Chetek and Cameron was renamed to be the Officer Emily Breidenbach and Officer Hunter Shield Memorial Highway. The officers were killed on April 8th during a traffic stop near Cameron.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We are talking about yesterday's special election results and people's reactions to it. And we have on the phone Scott from Chicago.
Hey, Scott. You got the trivia question.
Correct. Oh, the trivia question. Okay.
Yes.
You got it correct. All right. So I will ask you, Scott, who is the midfielder on the U.S. women's national team who graduated and played for UW-Madison?
Rose Lavelle.
Boo!
Ding, 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 ding.
Scott from Chicago. You know stuff about soccer.
Scott from Chicago. Great job. All right. Well, you have won the tickets. That's not long. Because you're from Wisconsin, right? I know you call in a lot, but you're a Brewers fan?
I am actually from Chicago, moving to Wisconsin later this year.
That's what it is.
I am a growing Brewers fan. I'll put it that way.
Good answer.
What was that? I didn't hear that.
He's a growing Brewers fan.
Good. Good, Scott.
Because if you were a Cubs fan, Greg might ban us from giving you the tickets.
True. I have it in the contract of all the tickets. If you are a Cubs fan, especially one from, like, you know, the suburbs, you can't have them.
Well, actually, I've all, like, kind of poke fun at my dad my whole life. I've always been against whatever team he cheers for. So I've kind of by default been a Brewers fan my whole life because it's against the Cubs. So it worked.
Congratulations, Scott. You are now my best friend.
Well, congratulations, Scott. Thank you. And Jane will get all of your information on if you want all four tickets, if you want two tickets. But have fun at the game on Saturday. Don't forget to take some pictures of you on the club level. Tag Civic Media. Tag our show. We'll share it. But and thank you for always listening.
Thanks very much.
And thanks for sending that info, Scott. Have a great time at the game. 844-967-2789. If you ever want to call and or text, feel free to do so.
Well, so I also thought, as we're talking about the changing voting habits of a stereotypically, I think what we think of as a pretty Republican-leaning district. Also this morning, Pew Research Center has recently released data that might help in general, some of these like stereotypes that we have about Republicans or Democrats and what the party is. And I thought it'd be fun to kind of go through and dispel a couple of those common political misconceptions. But before we move on, we have a couple texts, Jane.
Yes, we do. From the 414, try not to read too much into this special election, except the Republicans did enough to win. If Dems want to win, they'll have to work harder, harder, and harder in order to flip any seat. This was a very good effort. It was just not quite enough.
I agree with that. That's what we were talking about with Luann. It's what do you do with that energy and excitement then in the next time? You know, how do you, especially talking to people who are like, I don't know, those middle people who can influence.
And John from the Falls says, hi, everybody. I hope Luann is right, but I fear she's not. It seems like an awfully big jump considering how easily the Republican-funded three moms pushed out the people with experience on the Menominee Falls School Board last year. Who knows, maybe Falls residents are getting sick of politicians who can justify spending $1 million to switch the home and visitor bleacher seats on our high school football field so there is less sun in people's eyes than coming out and telling residents they have to cut funding for the music program at the middle school. Maybe they're actually upset about Republicans refusing to fully fund our public library to keep it as one of the highlights of the town, or that we now have a superintendent incapable of stringing together grammatically correct answers when addressing the public, and even why he wanted this job. I'm hopeful, but skeptical. Sorry to be a downer.
There's a lot to unpack there.
And I have heard... I actually need to go through some of my DMs because as we were talking last week with Melissa Temple and I had asked people on social media to send me stories of things that are happening in their districts when it comes to school, their school districts. And Menominee Falls definitely did come up as far as the WISRED takeover of that school district. So that's probably a future topic that we're going to dive into more.
And I'd look for ties to Moms for Liberty there too.
The text reminds me of an old Onion article. It says, you know, in shocking move, local school district votes to cut football from high school program. Just kidding. It was the arts.
All right. So, you know, politics are full of false stereotypes and journalists fall into them. We fall into them on this show as far as just, you know, Republicans are the rule party or Democrats now win white college graduates in an attempt to, you know, make broader points or try to predict because we're all, as much as we say, we're not in the prediction industry anymore. That's what we do. What do the polls say? So here are some myth busting facts backed with data. And we will say how much you guys find these surprising or not.
All right.
Democrats aren't young. Both parties are old.
Well, oh boy. Man, really coming out there hot and heavy with a big one.
But yeah, it's true that young voters tend to prefer Democrats while their parents and grandparents are more likely to vote for the Republicans. In 2022 House election, 68% of voters aged 18 to 29 backed a Democrat, and 56% of seniors voted for Republicans. But older voters rule both parties. In 2022, 6 in 10 Democrats and 7 in 10 Republicans were over 50.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, that one, that's not so surprising or shocking.
No, that doesn't. That wasn't a big myth for you?
That wasn't a huge myth for me. I mean, yeah, no.
All right, myth number two. Republicans aren't rural. Democrats aren't urban. Does that surprise you?
I mean...
Jane looks inquisitive.
I'm confused.
So the stereotype is that everyone who lives in rural areas is Democrat or Republicans, and everyone who lives in the city is...
Yeah, I mean, think of like county voting maps whenever we see them. Well, yeah, it's always the cities, and no matter, this isn't just Wisconsin, but it's the city areas that look blue.
Yeah.
And then there's...
Of course. Yeah. But that's also not a big... I mean, I feel like what they're doing with this article is saying your most base stereotypes are wrong. It's like, yeah, of course they're wrong. They're not based on a lot.
But then why do we keep buying into them? Because we hear this all the time.
Well, I mean... As a group, yeah, we buy into them because it's easier to forget it. To say like, oh, don't worry about it. It's like with the special election. It's like easy to say, why would we run a Democrat in farmland western Waukesha County? There's nobody out there, but there are people out there who would vote for them. I see you, but it's always wonderful to see like a Joe Biden sign on a farm. You're like, that's nice. I like that. Even if I don't like him, you're just like that guy is the poop in everyone's milk right now. I love it.
So should I just stop reading this?
No. Ooh.
You're like, well, I feel like this article is not very obvious.
That's a terrible impression of me.
All right. Well, every electoral map has deep blue dots, major metro areas surrounded by bright red rural set areas. As a result, pundits often treat Democratic voters as if they are stuffed into a single Manhattan apartment, while Republicans are spread among the grid of farms that span the rest of the nation. The reality, most voters from both parties live in the suburbs.
Oh, not in the city.
Not in the rural
interesting
area.
That's interesting.
Republicans and Democrats tend to win different types of suburbs. Democrats fare best in neighborhoods that are close to the city center, while Republicans thrive in exurbs and small metros. But despite how some maps may look, suburbanites, not small town farmers or big city baristas, are the core of both parties.
That's interesting. That I is. Like that.
See, you jumped. You didn't let me get through the thing before you started judging it.
I've judged what I want. Jump to conclusions.
All right. Number three. Religious Democrats and secular Republicans are both common.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
Democrats typically represent the most secular voters. They consistently win almost 90% of self-identified atheists, along with roughly 80% of agnostics. Republicans, by contrast, routinely take more than 80% of white evangelical voters. But that doesn't mean one party believes in God and the other doesn't. Most Democrats are Christians, and a solid chunk of Republicans claim no religious affiliation whatsoever. And the GOP is less pious than these numbers suggest. An increasing number of Republicans report that they seldom or never attend religious services.
Is that because they're irreligious, or is it because they're just like every other American out there who's just like, it's fine. I'll go next week.
I'll go Christmas.
I'll go Easter. I put a little extra in the tithe.
I don't know. Republican politicians still represent the interests of the religious right, especially on abortion and LGBTQ rights, but both parties are home to a mix of devout and secular voters.
And I think that's really important to recognize, because the right has been trying to claim that they're the only ones who Jesus loves.
I know.
Or I said that wrong. They're the only ones who love Jesus.
But probably both.
Yeah, they probably think both ways.
Right. And that's just not accurate. It's not.
No. My white Jesus loves me.
Maybe Jesus or white Jesus?
Yes.
All right, number four. Both parties rely on white college graduates, not just Democrats. When Donald Trump took over the GOP, many white-collar Republicans defected to the Democratic Party. But the magnitude of that shift has been greatly exaggerated. In 2022, only 52% of white college graduates voted for Democrats, and 47% favored Republicans. So that is a much more even split than I think pundits usually talk about it. Both parties relied on white college graduates for roughly a third of their votes.
Say that one more time.
So this is from 2022. Both parties relied on white college graduates for roughly a third of their votes. Democrats, it was 37%, and Republicans, it was 31% of their racial and educational breakdown. So then the rest of it. So Democrats were 37% white college educated, 27% white non-college educated, 36% non-white, versus the two bigger discrepancies for Republicans then is white college educated is 31%, white non-college educated 54%, and non-white 15%.
That tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, last one. The Hispanic vote is not the GOP's only route to victory.
Okay.
Yeah.
In 2020, Trump made substantial gains with Hispanic voters. Since then, political analysts have spent more time and effort analyzing Hispanic Republicans than almost any other group. But Hispanic voters are still a small chunk of the GOP. As Hispanic heritage age into voting population and older white Republicans age out, Republicans will need to increase their share of Hispanic vote. The smart move for the GOP would be to keep building a Hispanic base now and profit later, but that's not the GOP's only possible move. Only 1 in 10 voters self-identify as Hispanic. Republicans could very well win in 2024 by building on recent gains with white working class and Asian American voters, regaining recently lost college-educated suburbanites, or finally making inroads with black voters. These groups, which make up the other 90% of the electorate, deserve attention too.
Totally agree. Yep. Every time the Republicans lose big, they always have their postmortem on the various cable shows, and they're always like, "We got to go look back at our messaging. We got to go look back at how we talked about it." What you need to do is look back and be like, "All right, in 10 years we want to take over, not next election cycle. How do we include everyone and not use like just." Scare them into voting for us, which doesn't work. So, yeah.
One more quick text from the 608. Don't kid yourself. The GOP is freaking out after this election. It matches the results from April. Special elections do tell you something. Even split the change in half. Republicans are losing by a significant amount in 2024. With new maps, they can flip the assembly. And you know who the base Dem voter is? Millennial, well-educated white women. And that is why Dems are growing in the districts that voted yesterday.
So that's interesting because I think that's a great text, but also is like in with what we just talked about, does that align? But I don't know. I do think because we talked to John Johnson about the having realistic expectations as far as what the maps could do, but all will be unfolded because that is coming up quickly. All right, we got to take another break. When we come back, Greg's weekly roundup. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the project of Lincoln Project, that is, that this is authoritarianism and the early, as Matt Flynn likes to say, the little cat's feet of fascism creeping in.
And the next time I see Scott Walker tweeting about Ronald Reagan taught us, there's never been a bigger bunch of balderdash ever perpetrated on people.
The Todd Alba Show.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3
on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
I've been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It is going to be warmer and a little more humid today, and we do have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon into tonight, and a couple of those could be strong to severe, so be weather aware later today into tonight. Our high this afternoon, 86, 61 tonight, tomorrow partly cloudy, cooler 77 on Friday, sunny with a high of 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
What did I miss? Virginia, my home, sweet home, I want to give you a kiss. I've been in Paris meeting lots of different ladies. I guess I basically missed the late 80s. I traveled the wide, wide world and came back to this.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Shane Matinair, and it is time for Greg Bach's Weekly Roundup.
Thank you very much. The headlines you probably saw but definitely didn't read. Let's start with Music Stars Baby's Name News.
Music Stars Baby Names News.
Baby Name News.
All right.
Okay. Maybe I'll get an idea for...
Oh, trust me, you don't want it.
Okay.
Meghan Trainor has had her second baby. This may be a surprise to you. The Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter has announced the birth of her second child, and her and her husband have landed on a name that is decidedly old school, but to me did not necessitate a story on a major website because they named the child Barry Bruce Trainor.
Barry Bruce
Trainor,
but it's a girl?
It's a boy.
It's a boy.
Yep. That's the name. But I feel like if you're going to write a story about a person naming their child, like it's gonna surprise, because they literally said it's gonna surprise you. I was not surprised by any of those names,
not unless they spelled it b-e-r-r-y.
No,
like a
didn't.
berry.
Nope, they spelled it b-a-r-r-y and Barry Bruce Trainor. And I wanted to give some suggestions on what some shocking names, surprising names. First we're gonna start with Meghan Trainor Jr. the fourth. That's a surprising name. Gloria Gaynor Trainor. Paul McCartney.
Trainer.
Just Paul McCartney. Okay. That's it. Choo Choo Trainer. And Exa Dark Sigil Trainer, which is also the same name as Elon Musk's kid.
But okay.
How many Sophies do you know? So you can have two Exa Dark Sigil.
Yeah.
That's
sure.
A cool name because the E and the A are smushed together. So,
I like Choo Choo Trainer.
I like Choo Choo Trainer. That's my favorite.
Thank you. Next, beer news.
Beer news.
Hey, Kristen, do you love Bud Light?
I can't think of the last time I had one, but also I'm pregnant, so.
Do you love Kid Rock?
No.
Well, guess what? Now you can enjoy the lackluster taste of Bud Light in Kid Rock's even more lackluster bar. That's right. Seems like Kid Rock is no longer a devil with a cause, as he is coming at it. That's right. Seems like Kid Rock is a devil without a cause, as his cause of having Big Uncle at Thanksgiving energy and murdering 30 racks of beer is all in vain, as he still sells Bud Light at his bar.
Oh.
It seems that Kid Rock's big-ass honky-tonk rock and roll steakhouse, that is the actual name of the place in Nashville, is still serving the controversial beer, along with other products from Anheuser-Busch. And I have to say, what a waste of ammo. Baw wit to baw, more like baw wit to boo.
Nice.
Thank you. Lottery news. Y'all buying your lottery tickets?
I'm sure Mike is buying one.
My husband is.
Mega Million jackpot soared to $720 million, while some could win tonight's $1 billion Powerball jackpot. And I got to say, I love this time of year because it's when people pop out of the woodwork and say, I'll start buying when the tickets when there's real money involved. I'm sorry, Randy. Apparently $150 million isn't enough for you to divert cash from your natty light and Pall Mall fund. $150, that's not good enough for you. You're going to spend a buck on that. Okay. All right. So you're gonna buy tickets? Mike's going to buy tickets?
Mike's probably going to buy tickets.
And you said your husband's buying tickets?
I'm sure Paul's already got
tickets. I'm sure we'll have a couple tickets at home, too.
Yeah.
So when we all win together.
We'll pool it.
We'll pool it, and we're gonna
have a whole staff. For some reason, got on this a couple days ago as I was prepping for the show, and I had like a full-blown daydream of what I would do if I won the lottery. And like, it's so much money, but like, one of them was like, oh, I would have a full staff. Like, I would have an assistant, and I would like the amount of like social media, like the amount of stuff we could pump out. Like, I would fully fund As Goes Wisconsin to be like my full vision of what it could be.
That would be cool.
But then I'd probably still have a lot of money left over and be like,
yeah, you have tons of money.
Here's some for you. Yeah. Buy my parents a lake house.
I had a conversation with a friend once about that. And you know, if I won like $1 billion, it would just be making sure that everybody I know and love is taken care of, whether it's paying off mortgages, school loans, buying, like getting college, all that stuff. And I was talking to my friend and I told her like, yeah, I would give, you know, I'd give you a ton of money because who, like, I'd make it an interest, blah, blah, blah. She goes, oh, me too. I give everyone like $10,000. I'm like, what? You'd give me $10,000? I mean, not to look a gift horse in the mouth, but we're talking about like you winning $1 billion and you're going to give me what is like less than a fraction of a fraction of a fraction. And I have not spoken to her since.
Yeah, all right. Fair. That's the right reaction.
Idiot politician news. Ron Johnson has paid $400,000 to himself. The Oshkosh businessman and winner of the award for deadest eyes in the Senate 12 years of running is hitting up donors to help pay off his more than $8 million he's loaned his campaign. Now, everything he's doing is absolutely legal. I'm not complaining about that. It's fine. But when he asked if he was planned to continue to pay himself back, he said he didn't expect to get all the money back, but won't rule out further payments, then shrugged and got on an elevator. He can't even do something that's legal without acting like a low-rent Bond villain. And Ed, for the record, he's worth $80 million.
He's like one of the richest people in the Senate.
But he put his income somewhere between $24 and $84 million.
That's
a pretty broad gap there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just, it's craziness. So, yeah. Way to go, Ron Johnson. Dead-eyed freak. Now, finally, last one, Wisconsin news. Representative David Steffen and Green Bay and State Senator Rachel Cabral Guevara of Appleton are introducing new optional retirement income tax exemptions, which would completely eliminate state taxes for over 98% of all taxpayers 67 or over. Steffen and Cabral Guevara said in a joint statement that this exemption would attract new employees to Wisconsin. And I think that logic has made me create a new motto for Wisconsin, which is, Wisconsin, just wait 30 to 40 years and it's going to be awesome.
That is, I saw that article.
Yeah.
I didn't read it, just like you said, as far as these headlines go.
Don't worry, folks. I did.
What is the logic? I'll say it back to you because we only have a minute left.
There's
no taxes for if you're over 67.
No state income taxes.
And somehow that's going to attract working age people.
Yeah, and keep retirees in the state.
They're just trying to assuage seniors' fears that they're coming for Social Security and Medicare.
But don't worry, they've got great Democrats on board, like Lena Taylor, who is helping push the cause and saying people are spending a lot of money on shopping and a lot of money on going to restaurants. That's not what any of them sound like, but
we need to work on our impressions.
No, I like these ones because I feel like they'll get offensive if I do it.
All right. Well, that'll do it for our first hour of today's Wednesday Hump Day show. When we come back a little bit later, how do you feel about small talk? How do you deal with small talk? What's your go-to small talk question? Greg hates small talk. I know this already. So we're going to talk about that. Jesse Waters had a special guest on his show last night. And yes, we're going to talk about the Women's World Cup. So big next hour. Stay tuned. This is As Goes.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Voss, so I called Robin Voss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, where are you? There, I called them back and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to the Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.